Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
I do want to speak this morning on mother's love. We talk a lot about the father's love, but there's some things that I really want to honor mothers today for Mother's Day. I'll go to some scriptures that I want to try to unpackage a little bit to help us to understand a mother's love. That really a mother's love is just another expression of the father's heart. Did you hear me? A mother's love, the nurturing, gentle, intimate, passionate, concerned love of a mother is just another expression of our father's heart. We're going to look at that a little bit. I want to talk number of people, a mother's influence. Here's Abraham Lincoln. All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Again, he says, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. Mothers, I want to encourage you that your love will stick with your children throughout their days. Mom, your love has stuck with me throughout my days. I remember sitting on in the front room where we didn't let Mickey come in, you know. The front room was off limits. I mean, we had this big old house in the dining room, and the front room was kind of for company only. Well, every now and then, Mom would sneak me in there, and she'd sit me down alongside of her, and she'd read Reader's Digest to me. And I was just learning to read, so then she'd let me read some of the Reader's Digest. And I just, my mother, I was her favorite. George Washington, my mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her. There was never a woman like her. She was gentle as a dove, brave as a lioness. In memory of my mother and her teachings, were, after all, the only capital I had to start life with. And on that capital, I have made my way. That's Andrew Jackson. Tough guy, Andrew Jackson. Reads some stuff about the Civil War. He's a tough guy. He attributes it to his mother. Go figure. An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. It's a Spanish proverb. The mother's heart is the child's schoolroom. Henry Ward Beecher. Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I cannot tell you how much I owe to the solemn word of my good mother. A guy named David O. McKay. The noblest calling in the world is that of mother. True motherhood is the most beautiful of all arts, the greatest of all professions. She who can paint a masterpiece or who can write a book that will influence millions deserves the plaudits with admiration of mankind. But she who rears successfully a family of healthy, beautiful sons and daughters whose immortal souls will be exerting an influence throughout the ages, long after the painting shall have faded and books and statues have been destroyed, deserves the highest honor that man can give. In other words, you know, arts are going to come and go, and some of the arts are immortal, but the influence that a mother has potentially upon millions and millions of people is staggering. My mother never gave up on me. I messed up in school so much that they were sending me home, but my mother sent me right back. That's Denzel Washington. Here's a good one. Mothers of teenagers know why animals ate their young. One thing children wear out faster than shoes are parents. Parents often talk about the younger generation as if they didn't have anything to do with it. Mother, that was the bank where we deposited all of our hurts and worries. D.T. DeWitt Talmage. Grandmothers. If something is going well, call your grandmother. Italian proverb. When a child is born, so are grandmothers. Think of that. I wasn't a grandpa until my grandson was born. Just about the same time, just about the time a woman thinks her work is done, she becomes a grandmother. We should all have one person who knows how to bless us despite the evidence. Grandmother was that person to me. Grandmother-grandchild relationships are simple. Grandmas are short on criticism and long on love. It is as grandmothers that our mothers came into the fullness of their grace. I see that in Susie. Grandmas don't just say that's nice. They reel back, roll their eyes, throw up their hands, and smile. You get your money's worth out of grandmas. Becoming a grandmother is wonderful. One moment you're just a mother, the next you're an all-wise and prehistoric. I'm going to read just a few scriptures. I need to change things up a little bit here for the sake of time. I don't. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present to her, he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. How many know Paul is talking about a church that doesn't look like that right now? And yet he still speaks blessing. He still washes me with the water of the washing of the water of the word. And Paul is talking here, we're going to find out a little bit later on. He says, this is a great mystery, but I'm really speaking concerning Christ and the church. But he uses the marriage as kind of the picture of what things look like in heaven. How many know that heaven is really about a family? I mean, we have a Father, we have a Son, we have Holy Spirit, and we have family represented in heaven. And so when we're talking about husbands and wives, we are the closest thing, the closest picture. Family is the closest picture to what relationships are like in heaven. Now, we don't always get it right, but we have an example in Jesus. And, you know, people have made such a big deal about wives, submit yourself to your husbands for so long. I want to encourage you men that women, our wives, will find it easy to walk alongside of us, and that's really what submission is about. It's not putting under you. It's walking alongside of you. That's how Jesus created woman for the sake of man, so that we would walk together as joint heirs in the inheritance of this thing called life. And wives must be loved in the same way that Jesus loves the church. Probably week after next, I'm gonna speak a little bit about some things that God's just been teaching me about love in the last month and a half. But it just suffices to say that, guys, your wives will honor you and respect you as you learn to love them. Not just to love about them, or not just to love things about them, but as you learn to love them, body, soul, and spirit. more than an occasional touch. Do it this way. More than an occasional touch, or more than an occasional obligatory, yeah, well, let's see, she needs to have 10 minutes of my time, so come on, let's get it over with. There is a loving that men, we need to know to love our wives with. And I'm going to get into that. In a couple of weeks, I don't have time to go there now. But there is a depth of love and relationship and intimacy that our wives have got to experience. In that place, in the same way that I have got to receive the love of God in order to love like God, in that same place, your children will be loved by your wife. Many times, it can be hindered or encouraged or strengthened by the way we love our wives. When my wife is secure in her relationship with me, when she knows that I love her, you wouldn't believe how easy it is for her to love me back and how easy it is for her to love her children. Guys, I want to encourage you, speak words of life over your wives. Speak words of encouragement. Speak words of strengthening. Your wives need to be washed by the water of your words, the way that Jesus, the same way I need to be washed by the water of God's word, of his words of love over me. And that's the way, verse 28, that husbands ought to love their own wives, even as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. As I learn to love my wife, I'll learn to love myself. We're members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each of you, in particular, so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Now it's Mother's Day, and we're talking about children honoring your parents. I'm a child here today, and I've got a parent that I want to honor. Not that I just need to honor, but that I want to honor, and that I'm learning to honor in deeper, more personal ways. One of the things that it seems like has escaped our society is this thing of honor. Somehow we don't want to teach our children to honor their parents. We don't want to demand honor from our children. There's got to come a place where we as parents learn that we draw honor from our children. One thing that, again, that I wish I would have done a little bit more clearly when we had young children, I wish I would have honored Susie more intentionally, more boldly, more profoundly, and required of my children to honor my wife. If you have young children here today, these are just some things that, you know, it's not always good for a pastor to talk about some of the things he wishes he would have done. It kind of infers that I wasn't perfect. Is that a shock? It's not a shock, but you know, there is this thing where we just need to learn from one another, and we need to teach one another. And there's a principle. See, we're talking about honoring our parents. We're talking about parents honoring children and the way that works, but that doesn't just happen in our natural family. It happens in the church family. And this is a season where God is, it says the closing chapter in the book of Malachi was that God was going to restore the hearts of the children, or the spirit of Elijah was going to come, and that God was going to restore the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. When I say fathers in that sense, I mean fathers and mothers, sons and daughters. In that sense of the word, I don't believe there's male or female. children to their parents. The spirit of Elijah is coming. How many see in our society the need for parents' hearts, not just their money, not just their time, not just their stuff, not just a good house over their head, their hearts, the very core being of who we are, being restored to our children. That will draw the very hearts, the very core of who our children are, back to us. We're living in that season. I want to look at Genesis chapter 1. And verse 21. Maybe it's not 21. Verse 26. This is in the sixth day of creation. And the crowning creation of God is mankind. You are the center of the apple of God's eye. All of this was created for the purpose of mankind. In fact, I believe that there's a purpose that God had in his heart in even setting up the universe, setting up the stars spinning, the moon and the sun to be in just right proximity to the earth, spinning the earth around so that it stays warmed on all sides. I mean, you think of it, this is astonishing. That there's a place where we can live and eat and breathe and food happens and sun happens and rain happens and everything just kind of works. It didn't happen by accident. It happened by a very intentional act of creation from the heart of God. And after he created everything, you know, the evolutionists, they've really got to have faith. You ever thought of it? To think that this could have evolved, and not just this, but this? I mean, maybe I could have come out of a pool of sludge somewhere, but not my wife. I mean, the way it all works together, come on, it's like ludicrous. It can't happen. I heard a statistic one time. Some secular mathematicians were given the challenge of putting a number to what the possibilities are that evolution could have happened. And the number they came up with, I can't even begin to quote. I can't even start to quote it. But they tried to draw a picture of it, and it was like taking the earth and filling it up with just chock full of golf balls. And then taking one golf ball, painting it black, putting it in the whole thing of earth, you know, putting it into the hopper, shaking it up, taking a person, blindfolding them, then telling them, go find that black ball. And I don't think the chances are even that good, personally, because God created. So God created man. Verse 26. And here's God, and in plural, he says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. It's all plural. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Later on in the historical content, it says that God looked at man, he created man first, and he says, it's not good that man should be alone. Let's make him a helpmeet. That helpmeet is not a secondary position at all. That helpmeet is, stand up for a minute. That helpmeet is a front person. It was a counterpart. It was something that completed Adam. It wasn't a tag-along. It wasn't an add-on. A woman was that which completed man. And that the two of them together went on to create destiny and history and all the things that we enjoy as a husband and wife, including children. And there is nothing second rate about woman, scripturally. Now, thank you, Alice. I knew I'd get an amen out of Alice. In fact, as I look, I mean, I'd be really honest. I look at women and I say, oh my goodness, how are us guys ever going to keep up with them? You know, they're just created so magnificently. I mean, it's astonishing. And, you know, you always end up painting things with a broad brush when you do this. And I don't, you almost have to. But women are amazing. The way they can do things, the way they can think of more things, you know, than one thing at a time. You gals don't get it. You don't get it. But this morning when I was so focused on preparing to preach today and I forgot to say Happy Mother's Day to my wife, she understood because she knows me. Now, would a woman ever do that? Probably not. But God created man in his image. And in his image, he created them, male and female. Now, God is love, right? It says in 1 John chapter 5, God is love. He is the essence of love. He is love personified. When Jesus walked the face of the planet and he was demonstrating the heart of God, he was being the brightness of his glory, the exact representation of his being. When Jesus was demonstrating to mankind, this is who my Father is, and Jesus walked along and he healed their sick, he raised their dead, he cleansed the lepers, and he was showing people, this is what my Father's love does. I tell you, if there's any reason, there's a debate, well, is healing really, you know, always God's will? If there's anything that convinces me that healing is always, always, always God's will, it's because his character is always, always, always love. And he can't be anything different. He can't love disease and stuff that just tears bodies apart. Many of you know, we just buried my brother-in-law. Maybe it wasn't God's will for him to be healed. Well, you know, I don't understand how that works. This much I know. It wasn't the character and the nature of God that we didn't win the battle on that one. And I say that as gently as I can because, you know, last thing we need to do is heap condemnation and guilt. And I refuse that stuff. That's not the love of God either. But God created man in his image, male and female. I want to suggest to you that there are two aspects of God's love that man could not carry the completeness of God's love. God is love, and he wanted to love all humanity. He wanted to love the earth. He wanted to love the beasts of the field, the plants, the rocks, the mountains, through man. I want to suggest to you that God, his love could not be completely expressed through man, through the masculine alone. That there is an aspect of God's love that is carried uniquely by a woman, by a female. See, and there's a move to just kind of do away with gender neutral. Let's just make everything gender neutral. Let's say there's no difference between a man and a woman, a woman's position in life and a woman's strong points in life and a man's strong points in life, and there's some kind of a deal that says, well, man is up here, woman's down there. Well, it's just not true. And we're each uniquely created, and we're going to find the fullness of the expression of how we're created by living out how we're created. You find out why you're created by, you know, how, when you understand how we're created. And I want to encourage, you know, there's young women here, there's young gals, I want to encourage you, don't give in to the pressure of the world that says that you're not complete by being a mother. You're not complete. You're going to always be lacking something. You're always going to have an emptiness in your heart if you don't get a job and if you don't become a career orientated, or if you're this or that or that. I want to encourage you, moms, you have the highest, highest, highest call that you can have
as you're being a mother. Now, I understand there's some women here that maybe will never be a mother. And, you know, I'm not saying that a woman is absolutely incomplete unless she becomes a mother. I'm just saying that women tend to make the best moms. You ever tried having kids? Guys, I got a question for you. Where would you be without your mom? Where would we be without women? It would be scarce, wouldn't we? There wouldn't be a lot of us around. You know, and it's not that to be a woman that you've got to have children to be fulfilled. But I'm saying that if you're a mother, if you're called to be a mother, don't diminish the high privilege and the high call of God on your life. Women, whether you're married, whether you're not married, whether you have children, whether you don't have children, don't diminish the uniqueness that you express into the kingdom of God by your femininity. And guys, let's just get over to think this is all about us. Let's just get over to think that we walk in some kind of an era of superiority and women were made to be our slaves. They were made to be our, you know, just to kind of, come on, I'll tolerate you. When I need you, I'll bring you up to the forefront. But otherwise, just stay in the background, would you? I want to encourage us. Let's get real. Let's honor our mothers. Let's honor our daughters. Let's honor our women. Let's honor one another for how God has created us. Men, let's start being men. Women, start being women. Don't give in to the pressure of what society says. I see programs like, you know, the one that I've never watched it, but I've seen the commercials and it just, something turns my stomach every time I see it. It's called Desperate Housewives. I can't imagine what the movie's like. The commercials are bad enough. But you know what? There are some women that are desperate for your love, husbands. There are some women that are desperate for your love, for you to put them to the forefront, to bring them back alongside of you, for you to have an intentional love and passion for your wife more than when it's time to hit the sack. There are some desperate people around, but I'll tell you what, there's some desperate guys around too that desperately need love. And gals, there is nobody that can love your husband like you can. There is nobody that has more influence over my life than my wife. My wife makes me or breaks me with her words. My wife makes me or breaks me with her respect. I mean, I get picked on by a lot of people. You know, as a pastor, you just kind of, sometimes you're up there where people take pot shots at you. I'm not complaining about it. It's just part of the territory. It's all right. But I'll tell you what, when that stuff happens, I'll tell you the person that encourages me most, she's sitting right here. Ladies, don't underestimate the authority and the power and the influence that you have in your children. Your children need you to be a mom. Your children need to know your encouragement, your nurturing love, that aspect of God's heart for them. I'm going to close with one final scripture, if I can find it. And I know it's late. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Those of us that are past childbearing, can I encourage you, your job is not done? Can I encourage you that there are generations that we still need to have an input into? Our roles have changed some. We may no longer be the one that's picking up the guitar and playing, and some of us will be. I may not be the one that's always going to be doing all the preaching and teaching. Some of us will be, and we'll continue that. But I tell you what, there is a generation that needs to have fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers. There are some of you, anybody here who is over, say, 40 years old, 35 years old, you have an obligation to the next generation of believers in the Church of Jesus Christ. Did you hear me? An obligation. As much of an obligation as I had to raise my children, I now have an obligation to the next generation in the Church of Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, speak things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that the one who is opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. And goes on to do some more exhortation. Here's the deal. In the Church of Jesus Christ, see, Alice does not have children in the natural, but she has a multitude of children in the spirit. She is a woman who has made it a point to go out and have spiritual children. She has multiplied herself over and over and over again. One of the things I highly respect of Alice is the way she connects with people. And she's got some daughters that are 20, 30 years older than her. She's got some daughters that are brand new in the faith. I'm picking on Alice a little bit because I want you to understand this isn't about whether you've got natural children or not. That bringing up the generations is the responsibility that we, who have been around a little bit, you know, still have an obligation to the next generations. Some of those next generations are people who are older than myself, who just got saved yesterday, who need a father in the faith. This didn't really go any way that I thought it was going to go today. But I know that you know. I know that you hear the passion of my heart. Children, honor your parents. Honor your parents in the Lord. Fathers, mothers, have input into your natural children. I am still a dad. My job as a dad didn't quit when my kids left home. I still have a responsibility to you guys back there. I still have a responsibility to love you and to speak into your lives. But beyond that, I have a responsibility as a father in this house to speak into lives. Many of you here are mature believers in Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, who is God connecting you to that you can have a fatherly, a motherly input into? I want to encourage you teenagers, you younger, the next generation. I'll tell you what, it's hard to be a father to somebody who doesn't want to be a child. I want to encourage you, you kids, pursue fathers and mothers in the faith. Go after some mothers and fathers in the faith. Let's not be satisfied for this, what's called the generation gap. Just because I don't think like you, I don't like the music that you like, or I don't do whatever, that's irrelevant, because we have a gospel that needs to be carried on. We have a revival culture and understanding, an awakening of hearts that needs to be carried on and on and on. Let's stand together. Guys, would you just reach over to either your wife or somebody who's there, women, girls, some guys too. There's some ladies here that don't have a husband or children. Can you kind of do double duty? Maybe Dan and Ken, for these ladies in the middle here. And can you just release blessing? Can you just release blessing on one another? There's, a couple of gals there. You two can release blessing on each other. I know you two got all the blessing that you need. And just release blessing. Release honor. Release favor. Release the purposes of God into their lives. Thank you, Lord. Casey, why don't you go get this? Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your idea of family. God, we thank you for the honor that you've placed upon women. We thank you for the uniqueness that you've placed upon women. God, we thank you for the part of your heart that it took a separate creation from Adam to be able to carry your heart of love. And Father, I pray that as we're just releasing this into these ladies, God, that they would walk in confidence and in the fullness of understanding of your heart that they carry so uniquely as women. We bless them, we honor them, and we thank you, God, that they are not subservient, they are those that walk alongside of us. That in this house, God, that women are not a secondary gifting to the body of Christ. We honor, we bless fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters in this house. In Jesus' name. I want to welcome you if you need healing in your bodies. We'll have a team up front here. Ken and Carrie, you on the teams? Ken and Carrie just spent 4 days in an astounding atmosphere of healing and power. I want to encourage you, if you need healing in your body, if you need some emotional healing, if you need to be encouraged, come on up. We'll have teams up here. Bless you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.